Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance. It's time for Speed Talk. With host Cliff Tanner.
You have a beautiful speaking voice.
I'm special and you're not.
From AMA to IRL and NHRA.
Sorry, gentlemen, I am not a fan of that.
Even NASCAR.
Ooh, I'm ready for NASCAR.
In-person interviews and giveaways.
Incredible talent, incredible variety, like never seen on any other show before.
Along with the ride, as always, is Kenny Barr. You can always visit the gang at RadioSpeedTalk.com.
All right, race fans, we're back at you. We got Kenny Barr, Tom Wolf coming along to join me, and we got Tiny behind the boards, and Laura's over there with the timing, and we got Cliff Tanner here coming at you, and a lot of good things are going on in NASCAR. The worm has turned in NASCAR, Mr. Kenny Barr.
Okay.
That's an inside joke, folks. In both series, actually, Camping Truck and in the Sprint Cup, we'll talk about that, and when I say worm turn doesn't mean a permanent situation, but
okay.
A lot of wild things happening going on here. But we're going to talk about NASCAR, the race today, obviously, at Martinsville, the truck at Martinsville. We're going to be talking a little bit of dirt today because some things are going on there down in Eldora, the Do You Know, everything else. So before we go, I just want to remind you, as we won't be back on before, as Americans, we need to get out and vote, no matter who you are, what you are, unless you got picked up and thrown out by the hurricane if it does hit the way they say, or if we get snowed on, whichever comes first.
Let them vote early. Maybe this will drive them to the polls like this week instead of next, because you can vote early just about everywhere now.
Well, I don't know. I saw some pictures yesterday. There was some lines like 2 blocks long yesterday for voting. So
good.
No matter what you do, get out and go, because I'm telling you, this is an important one, and we need to get out there in numbers and show our force. But anyway, Kenny, as I was saying, the worm has turned. And I know you got upset with that term a little bit earlier.
No, I didn't. There's no proof of that.
We're talking about.
You can't find that anywhere.
Somebody erased it off the tape.
That's because Tiny does a great job for us.
But anyway, like you said, you know, as we started talking about Brad Keselowski, and we talked about this a little bit last week, and you told me I was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But qualifying sometimes is important. But to me, before we go into this conversation, to me, qualifying a little bit better at a short track where you don't know who's going to take you out. I mean, we saw a little bit of that today. But I got to tell you, first of all, I want to say congratulations to all the NASCAR guys. I thought they did a tremendous job today of trying to keep everything under control.
Yeah, the explosion didn't happen. I'm still thinking it's cooking. It's got to be like a pot just boiling, just getting ready to explode the lid off that thing. There's too much at stake for somebody to not go absolutely crazy and start beating and bashing and crashing. But they're 7 races in. They haven't done it yet. Man, I'm really surprised at that. Keselowski and them did a great job. Thinking through, clean race. Realize it's 500 laps and you're not going to get to the front in the first 10. Take your time, pick them off. A little bit of pit strategy, and voila. Finishes 6th. Mm-hmm. Loses very little points. He's only 2 down now from Jimmy, and we got 3 races to go. And it's probably a 2-horse race. And I'm looking forward to watching the rest of them.
Well, I got to tell you what, I thought it was kind of cool. And Tom, you can interject any time you want. But I thought Brad Keselowski, a lot of people don't like him because they just think he's too hot-headed or just too reckless. But I got to tell you, you know when a guy's cool when they're pulling out to take the parade laps and he tells his crew chief, wow, looks like you got a nice crowd today. Beautiful day for racing.
I didn't hear that, but you're probably right. And, you know, he walks that fine line between cockiness and confidence. And everybody around this table probably has a different level of where that's at. And so I see it all in confidence right now. I mean, the day he made that announcement at Bristol, when they let them introduce themselves, I immediately became a fan because he badmouthed Kyle Busch. And I thought, okay, he and I are on the same page right away. But, you know, bragging ain't bragging if you do it. And he's been crawling up the ladder. Now he's at the top of the pile, you know. He's at the pinnacle of NASCAR. Second-generation driver, I always like that and stuff. And that some people don't like him because he's overconfident or over cocky and stuff. I think it's great. I think it's just a level of confidence that most guys don't have.
Oh, and I totally agree. And it's not like he doesn't come from a racing family or you know, he knows what he's doing. He can drive just about anything. Maybe not quite as well as like a Tony Stewart or something like that, but excuse me.
He's also only 23 and hasn't had that many opportunities.
Yeah. But he comes in for Rusty Wallace in the number two Miller Lite Dodge. I mean, you know, of course, they're Ford next year, I believe, right? Didn't they go Ford
yeah.
next year?
Yeah.
So, but it was a great race today. Junior, I got to admit, kind of surprised me until he spun out there towards the end. And then first thing I thought that popped into my head, oh, my God, was he all right? Should he have been in the car?
Well, Hermie saw that crash. How did that go down?
Looked like Hornish got into the back of Carl Edwards and kind of pushed him forward. And so Edwards and Junior took the brunt of it. But I don't think Junior hit the wall that hard. It certainly wasn't his fault. I mean, when you get hit from behind, you can't control that. So he did a fine job racing all day long, I thought.
Well, I agree. I totally agree. I don't think he did anything wrong. And unfortunately, his car just went away for a second half of that race because he got all the way up to third at one point. But one guy I want to talk about, Boyer, man, a dominating performance today, and they just lost it. But, you know, no matter what you say, guys, that Hendricks team has, I mean, 19 wins they've got in Martinsville. I mean, they are just hard to beat. I don't care who you are.
Yeah, they got the place figured out. All four of the Hendricks cars did well today. Kane finished third. Johnson first. Where did Gordon end up?
Six.
Gordon sixth or seventh? Gordon seventh. And where is the other one?
Dale's in 12th.
They ended up 12th after all that mess?
Well, because after the spin out, yeah.
Oh, you're talking about the points. I was talking about the finish of the race.
Oh,
itself.
I'm sorry. I am talking points here. I apologize.
Yeah, that's okay. Dale ended up 21st after getting banged out. But he never lost a lap either. But he lost a whole bunch of positions because I know he was in the top three or four. No, he was fading. He was about eighth or ninth. Because when I heard it, I was listening to it on the radio, busting one over to Tom so I could catch the end of the show on TV. And I heard he was in an accident. I went, oh, man, he's right in front of Keselowski. And it turned out he was about three or four cars back. So he was starting to fade. He had a tire equalizer. Something had gone wrong with the car. But still, he did a really good job. There's no cobwebs up there. I don't know how hard he hit the wall today. If they need to go get him checked again, hint NASCAR, I think he need to go do that. He didn't hit the wall at all?
No, they just spun around, right?
I don't.
At least that's the way they said it on the radio.
I don't think
like
he did.
Yeah, he didn't hit anything.
Oh, well,
he
even better. So,
but
okay.
He might have got dizzy from it. Who knows?
I'll take my hint back. Yeah,
I'm telling you, he opened up a box here.
But that can happen with a concussion.
Oh, I
mean, it's spinning fast.
Sure.
You get vertigo and get all goofy again. So, yeah, you're right. He did a good job. I was impressed, and the medical people who cleared him must have done a good job.
Well, Tom, let me ask you, man. Do you think Jimmy Johnson's going to do it again?
I think when you look at today's race and the one last week, it's really a team sport, and you see that when both drivers, whether you know you talk about Jimmy backing into the wall, and then the crew having the ability to get him back out on the track. And then Keselowski making the call at the end of the race to stay out, and the team again making the best of it, and it's a team sport, and it comes down to that. And those two, I think, have two of the best teams that are working together right now.
I totally agree. I mean, it's hard to beat those guys. It always has been. But Kenny, I want to talk to you a minute. Let's talk about Denny Hamlin. Denny Hamlin passed 800 cars today.
Yeah, he had the most fun of anybody, didn't he?
Yeah. You got to feel bad for the guy in a way. But, you know, sometimes I don't like his attitude either. You know, and we'll talk a little bit what I mean by that when we talk about the truck race. But he passes all those cars, two speeding penalties, comes all the way back, rips into first place, and the next thing you know, he's got some issues. First he has a gearbox go down or a battery go down, whatever it is they decided, because I never did really hear. But he switched it over, but he kept going front, you know. It seemed like he got it going in the turns, but once you hit the straightaway, it went dead. Now, one question, I want to ask you a couple questions about that, but here's the one thing that really upset me, is there towards the end, when he could not go, I cannot believe NASCAR waited that long to throw a caution when that guy was sitting in the middle of the freaking straightaway.
Well, it's a half-mile track, and you got entrance ways on both turn four and turn two to get into the pits, and they thought he might have enough rolling momentum to get in there. Why he didn't try to go in there, I have no idea, because he was downpowered pretty early.
Because of Denny Hamlin.
Well, maybe. Could very well be. But they found out it was the master switch is what had gone bad. That's why everything went dead. It's just like your ignition switch in your car. If it decides to take a leave of absence, there you are. You're done. It took them a while. They were blaming the box, the ECU box for it, and then they were blaming wiring. And they finally got a master switch, and they went out and made a few more laps and got as many points as they could and then come back. But why they didn't throw the caution, oh, who knows, you know. That's NASCAR has to make those calls in a great big hurry. In Martinville, everything's happening so, so fast. Do you think it's because of Denny Hamlin, or you just think it was trying to tighten the field up for another restart at Martinsville?
No, I don't think it was that at all. I just the way he came around, or it was just like dead, and it seemed like it took him two laps before they decided to throw that caution because he missed the entrance to pit row. And then, you know, I just was surprised that NASCAR didn't throw that flag. No, I don't like cautions. Nobody likes cautions. I'd rather, you know,
fans do.
Unless you're, yes, I know the fans do. But, you know, I'm talking about if you're looking at a racing aspect, you're looking at a technical aspect, no. But fans, yes, you want to see some of that. Unless you're at a mile and a half where somebody's 18 miles ahead of somebody else, and then, you know, you get towards the end and have a shootout. But that doesn't always work either.
Oh, well, I am with you. I don't like a lot of cautions. I want them to race unless it's a runaway like that. But you wonder sometimes why they. I think the phony precautions are finally gone. But that an incident like this gives them another opportunity to think about it a little bit. And they probably were kicking that back and forth in the booth trying to decide whether they should throw a caution or not. And they can also listen to Hamlin's radio. You know, he might say, hey, this thing just fired up. Well, it quit. Oh, I'm powered up again. Oh, it quit. Oh, so, you know, they got the thumb on the trigger going yellow, maybe yellow. Well, make up your mind! You know.
Well, let's talk about the technical aspect of it, though. I mean, Joe Gibbs, it's funny because at the beginning of the year, it seems like Kyle Busch had all the bad luck, and now here, all of a sudden, Denny Hamlin has the luck, and Kyle Busch is, well, he finished, what, second today?
Yeah, he had a good race today.
But talk about the switch box. I mean, obviously we know it's important. Is that an issue that it's just one of those things that 1 in 100 fail, or?
One in a million, it seems like. It's just a switch. It's just a toggle switch, all it is. You know, when you see at the start of the race, you see the gloved left hand flip, and then they got the one that's doesn't stay up, that I forget. So it's a two-way toggle. It goes up, it starts the car, and you release it. That's the one that just shorted out. Now, did they have too much power running through that particular switch, and it just melted itself up? Did you get a defective switch from Jiu Jitsu Japan switch company makers, or what? Who knows why? And it's really one of those weird things. I've seen things come loose. I've seen wires chafe. I've seen connections that separated. It's really rare when a switch itself goes bad. And they may find out it really wasn't a switch after all, but that was the initial setup, and they got it fired up by putting a new switch in it.
So automatically it's the Japanese fault is what you're trying to say here?
Sure, why not?
All right, folks, we come back. We'll wrap up what happened today at Martinsville. We'll talk about what happened the day before in the truck series. We need to go ahead and take a break. We'll be right back.
Good. This is fun.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located in 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan. The Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
199 left, and baby, it all comes down to this.
Your talk show for NASCAR.
Yeah, now that's what I'm talking about.
The Balance Online.
got any doubt, check this out. Give me some skin.
Where's that?
He's a demon on wheels. He's a demon and he's gonna be chasing after someone. He's gaining on you, so be
well with NASCAR. Yeah. As the chase heats up, I'm sure that he does too as well. And Kenny from Radio Speed Talk and Josh Timmerman, we had a lot of fun.
Welcome back to Speed Talk. Got Kenny Barr, Tom Wolf joining me. I'm Cliff Tanner. Tiny Lower back there keeping us in line, or at least trying to. Not doing a very good job because we're not letting them. That's our fault, not theirs. But anyway, we're talking a little bit about the NASCAR race today. And as we talked about, Jimmy Johnson does take the points lead. He is two over Brad Keselowski. Clint Boyer moves up to third at 26 out. Casey Kane is 29 out in fourth. And Denny Hamlin went down to 49th. Stick a fork, right?
Yep. He's done.
All right.
Pokemoner, he's not even medium rare. He's well done. He's over with.
So, Tom, of those
ribs
four.
Ribs in the media room. Oh, different
go.
Story.
Of those four, or the three, I should say, we know Jimmy's in the lead, but you got Brad Keselowski. We know he's going to be close. Clint Boyer, Casey Kane, they have a shot?
I don't know. I think, you know, you never know what's going to happen. So, yeah, obviously everyone still has a shot, but I think it would take a tremendous mistake by both Brad and Jimmy. I kind of think it's down to a two-man race, like I said earlier. The teams are just so well prepared for anything or to change a strategy up. I really, really think it's going to come down to Homestead and be that close.
Well, I got to tell you guys, I'm really impressed this year, really, with Michael Waltrip Racing. And they just signed another deal. They got Mark Martin for most of the races, Brian Vickers for nine, and Mikey for some ungodly reason. Still wants to race in the two Talladega and the July Daytona race. And we all know that the only reason he's not racing Daytona because he wants Mark Martin to win his first.
Right.
So they just keep getting better, but yet they keep slipping. You know, what, Kenny, what do you think they need to do next year to be more of a contender?
Well, they just improved by leaps and bounds. I don't know if you can be any more of a contender than having two cars in the chase like they have and stuff. I don't know, a little bit of racing luck, a little bit of figuring out how to cheat without getting caught kind of thing or whatever, you know.
We saw what happened when they got caught cheating at Daytona.
Well, yeah, and, you know, a couple years ago he got caught with this magic fuel that nobody really has come up and said what that was, some sort of additive that oxygenated the fuels a little bit, which makes sense to me how it burns and stuff. But then nobody ever figured out how they did it, or at least it's never been public and stuff. I don't know. I think they just take their program, what they got now, and look at the new enhancements, take a look at the rule changes, see what you can flex, see what you can bend, see what you can paint gray, and you go.
Well, let's talk about you, the top four guys. Who's got the biggest shot?
Keselowski, Johnson. They're the only two left, I think. But, you know, until you're mathematically eliminated, anything can happen. You know, a motor can come apart on lap one. You know, somebody can T-bone you by accident on lap five. Texas is another cookie-cutter mile and a half, although racers tell you that cookie-cutters don't exist, but close enough for our purposes. Yeah. Yeah. That's a cool place. I got to get there one of these years. And
that's on our agenda next year.
Is it?
Yes.
Good. Put it on the radar. But anything can happen. But I really think it's going to boil down to Johnson and Keselowski. And you and I are both on the same page. We're going to pull for the Dodge.
Yeah. You know, I've said all along when the first thing started, I picked him to win it, and I still think it's his to lose, even though he's down two. You know, we're getting into what he specializes in, the mile and a half tracks, and he loves the big tracks, and the guy can run them just as good as Jimmy Johnson can.
Well, I also think he does a lot of background research. I mean, he made the comment before the race today that he went back and studied a lot of the past races. And you and I stood last year down at in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Raceway.
Yay.
And watched him come out, and he stood next to us close to the wall to watch the truck race, and he was pointing out things, and I obviously couldn't, you know, you couldn't hear what he was pointing out, but he was having a good conversation with his dad and his crew chief, and he went out the next night and won the nationwide race. So I think the guy does a lot of background check, studies the tracks a lot. I don't know whether he does the whole video game thing and how much of a factor that really is, but he's very knowledgeable about all the racetracks.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because that was my next point, is I don't think I've ever seen a guy study a race as much as we. I mean, that was amazing to watch.
Exactly.
That I mean, it was just, and it's just, I just love his attitude. I mean, he's hyped up, he's ready to go. He kind of reminds me of Dale Earnhardt Sr. in some ways. You know, just calm, kick back, don't get in my way or else.
Except he hasn't used his bumper quite as much.
Well, yeah, you know, a lot of those guys don't do that. But also remember, we didn't have a gazillion mile and a half
right.
racetracks when Dale Earnhardt Sr. was famous. Again, Kenny, say it, more short track races, period. And dirt.
Okay. More short track races, period. Bring back Hickory. Put him at Bowman Gray. Do any kind of short tracks. It's better racing. It's fun racing. Although the trucks, which we're going to talk about next, was kind of a, you know, be aggressive fest kind of thing. But I think it's way better racing than these mile and a half. And yeah, throw the super speedways in there for the fans that like to see them go 200 mile an hour. There's a certain section of fans that like that. But you and I got to be the short tracker.
I still like Kenny Wallace's great idea. The big tracks, you give them two races, one the long, one the short.
Yeah.
A little short track on the inside.
I think it's a great idea because the venue's there, the seating's there. Build a little one on the inside of the big one just like they do at some of the other venues around the country now and make them run one on each.
Well, let's talk about the truck race. Another interesting race. Went in, Ty Dillon had the lead over James Buescher. And, again, tire gets you, Denny Hamlin wins. And I got to tell you, there's a couple tweets that I saw. First one was after this race. But the one I saw today is, it's a good thing that Denny Hamlin won the important one yesterday. I thought that was quite interesting.
The important one? Why would it be important to him? He's not.
He was being a sarcastic.
Oh. Well, see, I thought this was a serious deal. I guess you're right. Duh.
But I got to tell you, you know, there were seven laps left coming out of a caution, and Denny Hamlin bumps into the back bumper and moves Matt Crafton, or so he says.
That's a nice way of putting it.
Well, you think he did?
Yeah, he did it hard. He didn't just bump and move him. He got him that beep out of the way.
He was pretty healthy.
He shot him.
He did. Nelson Piquet Jr. comes in second, made a heck of a move.
He moved everybody from eighth to second to get him out of the way.
But Denny Hamlin pops him, takes him out, and I want to make this point. You know you got to feel bad for Kyle Busch, and I know you won't, but I do. It seems like everybody has won in a Kyle Busch Motorsports vehicle besides him. His brother's won. Hamlin's won. Just keep on going.
Oh, I feel so bad.
Maybe you should sell it to Kevin Harvick and get that feud going again.
Good idea.
He could win in Harvick's truck. Harvick could sell it back to him.
Well, there we go. But the other tweet I saw, and this is, you know, again, I don't know if this was serious, if this was sarcastic, but apparently, if you didn't see it right after the race, then Crafton came up as Denny was getting ready to do his spin out. He got popped, spun him around. PK got spun around. There were some tempers flying. And apparently Crafton went up to the car to say something to Denny Hamlin. And Denny Hamlin said, "Do you know who the blank I am?" What do you think?
I think I'd drag him out of the truck and introduce him to who I am. That's what I do.
Which brings up another point. Why, and you and I talked about this Twittering yesterday, or texting back and forth.
Yeah.
Why has NASCAR become pussified?
I wasn't going to use that word. I don't know. Maybe keep sponsors happy. Maybe the big money has finally gotten to the point where they said, look, you're not going to go fist to cuffs, so we're going to take our money away from you. That's old school. This is not your father's NASCAR anymore. And this is pure speculation on my part, but you know, every time somebody gets mad and throws a helmet, the crowd goes crazy. Every time somebody goes down there and threatens to whip somebody and it's in front of the crowd goes crazy. They eat that kind of stuff up. MMA is hugely popular. Boxing isn't, you know, but it was in its heyday because people beat the hell out of each other. Gladiators got ate up by lions. You know, it's just the human nature to see violence to a certain degree. And they like to see that. I remember that Bozo. You ever see that YouTube video of that Bozo in Toledo? And jumped up and put both his feet through the windshield. I think it was in an ARCA race.
No, did not see.
Oh, yeah, we'll have to dig that up for you sometime. He was mad, and apparently he's got a little bit of gymnastics in him because he actually was at the left front corner of the car. The car was coming around. He jumped and jammed both feet through the windshield trying to get to this guy because he couldn't get through him through the window net. He was so mad. Crowd went nuts. They all loved that.
Well, Tom, what do you think? You think we ought to let him, you know, go at it, see a couple nose in the pops in the nose?
Well, as long as they actually take a real swing, I don't have a problem with it. But
that slap fest that
Gordon and Burton did a few years ago doesn't do anything for me. So I'd rather see him, you know, a well-aimed helmet like Tony Stewart did. You know, I can appreciate that.
But you know what? That was funny, and it was good. And I don't blame him. I'd have been mad, too. But what kind of a wimp does it take to have two hands to throw a helmet?
Well, apparently it takes a few, because Danica didn't even throw hers later in the race, so.
I thought she was.
She finger pointed. She's got that dangerous finger point, and you and I have seen that before.
Well, she doesn't know how to.
Numerous times on pit road.
Right. She can't throw a helmet. Hell, she can't even spin somebody without knocking herself out of the race. But, Ty Dillon comes in, the race leader. Kenny, that big old thing, right side tire, pop, boom, goes into the wall. And next thing you know, and he also broke off the sway bar arm, if I'm correct.
Yep, behind the joint. It just ground it right off, actually, because the truck just hit the ground. They're already close to the ground anyway. And they just ground that baby right off, and then the sway bar was just dragging. I don't know if they actually broke the bar. I know they broke the Heinz joint, which is what you use to help preload the sway bar. I don't know if they broke the bar or not, but whatever it was, it put a hurting on his day, that's for sure.
Well, I saw a pit, Hermie Sadler had it.
Yeah, that's the Heinz joint. That's the part that actually holds it in there, yeah.
But a sad moment for him. He goes down. He's now 21 points down going into next week, and Timothy Peters is 25 down. James Buescher takes the lead. Man, I got to tell you, what is it with the Buescher name here recently?
Hey, the racing gods are smiling on him.
Remember when we talked to that kid, 4 years ago? And
yeah.
He was fighting to get a ride?
Fighting to get a ride, and I think we caught him on a night where he was really sleepy. I mean, it was kind of a tough thing to get anything out of him, but he didn't have a lot to talk about then, too. When your former colleague lined that thing up, you and I looked at each other and went, "Hoo-hee!" Well, now we know who he is, and he's pretty good.
Well, I mean, why not? You might as well keep it in the family. His
cousin
Chris just won the ARCA championship, so you might as well get it on. But I got to tell you, all in all, it was a pretty good race in the Onion. Tom, I know he's your favorite guy. I don't know what it is about Mr. Todd Bodine this year, but he cannot keep out of the wall or somebody's truck. You're not going to say nothing?
I thought he was going to start singing that song.
We won't mention his name that we had decided to call him from now on.
I don't know that I can really comment on that, you know? I'm just not a big, big fan.
I heard he's a good singer, isn't he?
I don't know.
Well, yes, you do. Tom's amazingly neutral.
Anyways, they go to Texas also, but they got a big Friday night race, and I always love watching the trucks run in Texas. And we all know that Childress is still going to have a good, you know, car out there. But man, if James Buescher pretty much just got to stay safe the last three races and he's in,
keep his nose clean, don't crash out. Hopefully, you don't have a mechanical problem. Texas is his home neighborhood; he don't have to go far, so he can sleep in his own bed. Well, I don't know about that. Texas is a great big state, but you know, the less travel time you have, the better you're going to be, I think.
And make sure you don't get between Todd Bodine and the wall.
That's
well,
probably
on that
a good
note,
idea.
We need to take a break, folks. When we come back, we're going to talk dirt, and dirt.
You going to talk dirty?
We're out of here.
Okay.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan. The Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. Indy Pro Sports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
199 left, and baby, it all comes down to this.
Your talk show for NASCAR.
Yeah, now that's what I'm talking about.
The Balance Online.
Welcome back to Speed Talk with Kenny Barr, Tom Wolf, Cliff Tanner coming at you. We've got Laura Tiny behind me, trying to keep us in line again. It's not working very well. And I just want to let you know, folks, we forgot to mention this earlier. Kenny's going on vacation, so we're on a little early. The reason I tell you that, because we're going to talk about the NHRA a little bit, and it's not all the way done, but hopefully it may be done by the time we get done. But we'll get that going. Don't forget about our contest. Pick your favorite driver from any race genre or whatever you want to call it, racing league. Pick
the song. As long as we recognize the name, it can't be something you made up. We got to be able to know who the driver is, or at least look him up.
So the Roadrunner doesn't work?
No, I know who he is. Heck, I grew up with him and Wile E. Coyote and them crazies. But I explained this contest to some people, and they were making stuff up on both sides of the rules. So I said, look, guys, come on.
Right. Well, go to RadioSpeakTalk.com, go there, and also, we also haven't talked, you can go to Facebook.com/RadioSpeedTalk, and you can also catch Kenny at KennyBar52, I'll be at RadioSpeedTalk, too. And guys, you know, we've been talking about it a little bit. Kenny, we started the campaign for dirt, and we keep hearing talk coming up. Tony Stewart started talking to NASCAR about bringing something there to Eldora. And for you folks that may not have heard, it was announced this last week that the Prelude to a Dream has been suspended for 1 year because they're having a big show coming up that's going to take a year to plan, they say. So one of the things they're looking at is bringing the Truck Series there to Eldora. And, guys, I don't know, man. I still say dirt.
I'm in. You got us comps yet? Let's go. I'll put it right on the calendar. I'll do that before I go to my... What?
No dirt.
Oh, God. Sounds like shut his dirt mic off.
You know, it's funny. They were talking about that today on Speed, and they actually took a poll, and it was amazing how many people wanted dirt over not.
Do you remember the numbers?
It was, I want to say it was like 69-31 or something like that.
Doesn't
so,
surprise me anyway. I tell you, they put on a whale of a show. You know, it might take them a while to get a handle on it where they can have everybody competitive. You know, when they started the Prelude, the only guys that were any good were like Kane and Stewart and the guys that grew up on dirt and the dirt sprinters. But now that the guys are building their own cars for dirt and practice on dirt and they go down there and get some seat time in long before the Prelude starts, hey, anybody, there's a 12 or 14 car field that can win that thing. You know, the Kenny Wallaces and the Schraders, they got their own dirt programs already, so they just have to go dig something out of the garage and bring her on over and have at it. But it'd be neat to watch them guys on dirt.
Tony's been pushing. He's been pushing real hard. As a matter of fact, there's a report that some of the truck boys and Tony Stewart and NASCAR officials been down there testing on the track.
Oh, I wish I knew those dates. You sneak down there, take a call in to work sick, and then sneak down there and just take it all in, you know, because you can get it. When those practice sessions are there, they don't have the security and they don't have the gates locked and stuff. You can find a way to get into those things. And now, I'm not advocating that we have a mad rush to Eldora and camping out.
Well, especially this time of the year, it's almost
like... Well, but dirt race fans are hardy souls. They'll stick around for an awful long time. They'll stay at 2, 3, 4 in the morning and get a show in. But you can go check that out if you know when and where it happens. But they're so close to the vest with the dates and the times that you never do find out.
Well, you know, I've been to Eldora. I've seen the cars there, but I just have a hard time picturing trucks racing on dirt. Yeah. Well, last time they did it was 1970, so it's not like it's been forever ago.
Well, and, you know, they're not the same size. It's just a different body shape, and the chassis really are not all that different. It's just a different visual, I guess, for lack of a better term. You know, you see what looks like an S10, which looks like a Ranger, which looks like a whatever the little Dodge is and stuff out there, and it makes people... Go back to, I recognize the grill on that. I can tell that the A-pillar is the same thing on my truck and stuff, and it gets brand identification going again. But if you strip the things away, the chassis are almost similar.
Well, again, you know, you're listening to Speed Talk, and we're talking about our campaign for dirt, and talking about the testing that's been going on. And Tom Wolf over here just informed us that he says no dirt. Give us some reasoning behind it.
He's outvoted.
Because I think then you'll end up with another situation like we have with the road courses. You know, people will start building specialty cars to race on dirt.
Sure.
And spending more money and more money. And I, quite frankly, before we go to dirt, I'd rather see us move some of the dates from some of the larger tracks and the cookie cutters that don't exist and go to some different road courses. I'd like to see more road courses added to it. And then I think that you would have people take a bigger...
I'm just going to shut your mic off.
You're coming across the table at me. I was about ready to drop and run.
All of a sudden, I
think you would get then a bigger interest in the road courses. Everyone says, we don't need road courses.
It's
a different type of animal. I mean, because we only go to two of them twice a year, we don't have the engineering input into them that we should have. And if you made it more of a part of the actual race schedule, then I think that we would see more competitive racing at that level. But I don't think you can take the NASCAR boys to a track once a year and throw them on dirt. Because like you said, the guys that grew up with it are going to know what to do. The rest of them, you know, I don't want to mention any names, but, you know, there was a driver down at Eldora that had no business being in that car after he banged off the wall at least five or six times that I counted. Caution.
Well, that man also has driven on dirt before, but I don't know what his problem is.
Well, I don't know, but it was
also won the Prelude, if I'm not mistaken.
He's also
won the Prelude.
Labonte?
Oh, I thought you were talking about Kyle. Kyle tore one up down there.
No, we're not talking about Kyle. Kurt is the one that crashed his car. Kyle
did. Good.
So Kyle won.
You know what? I wonder if those two got permanent concussions.
Anyway, those. But, you know, you bring up a point, Tom, and I got to tell you, and Kenny and I on Speed Talking several times, I cannot get into the fact that a NASCAR is going to the road course. It's just, to me, it's not racing. It's not the core of what they want to be. Now, watching F1 or watching motorcycles or IRL going on road courses, I find that exciting. With NASCAR, I don't. It's like a big dump truck trying to plow through a field of grass or something. I don't know. That's not a good way to describe it. I just don't see why people would want to watch it.
We had one of the best and most exciting road courses finishes this year, and you didn't find that interesting.
Well, thanks to the oil. That's the only reason we had a good finish.
Well, and maybe before we go to dirt, maybe we should have them oil down to a couple of tracks and let them drive on that.
Well, they used to do that. They used to do that in Chicago when Granatelli and them used to promote some races up there when they got bored or the races got boring. They had a sprinkler system in 3 and 4. They'd fire it up and get that track wet.
Wow.
And the guys would be going through there and hit the water and have to slow down and change things. And cars would slide through. And then when things got tightened up again, they'd let it dry up and then have at it.
But I do agree with you. It has gotten to the point on the road courses that you can't bring in a ringer anymore. I mean, basically, if you're going to race for a championship, you've got to have
right
points. And, you know, take a look at some of the guys who have been pretty good on them. I mean, Rusty Wallace was good on them. You had Dale Earnhardt Sr. was good on them. Then, of course, you had all the ringers. And now almost every, I mean, the Bush brothers are even starting to race on them well.
Well, I'm just saying if you add a few more, you know, we've been to Mid-Ohio a couple of times and up at Road America. I just think if you started going to more road courses or added a few more to it, there would be a bigger incentive for some of the drivers to learn that racing a little bit more.
Well, a lot of them have. A lot of them have gone to the Bondurant School of
right
racing and stuff, and that's why the Mark Martins and that's where Jeff Gordon learned how, and a lot of guys have done that to improve their skills and the heel toe and the shifting patterns, and then they get with guys like Boris Said and Ron Fellows and all those hired guns like you just mentioned and pick up tips and pointers from them, and they've turned themselves into pretty good road racers. The problem is the cars were never made to road race, and they do. They look like big, awkward dinosaurs out there, and I don't like it either.
Well, as I'm sitting here listening to you guys go back and forth about this, and here comes some ideas, and I think it's a great idea. Why not get a program a little bit more dirt, get a little bit more the road course? I think we need to get away from these mile-and-a-half, two-mile races. They're just, unless you put restrictor plates on them or something to make it more packed, it's just not fun. And how many times have we been to Michigan or Chicago or places like that for the first part of the race, somebody's like 200 miles ahead of the next guy.
Well, I think part of the problem, too, is you're seeing Goodyear bring a harder tire.
True.
And the tires aren't wearing out like they used to. And I don't know whether that's due to the way they're engineering the cars. They're afraid to bring a softer tire where it will wear out and force them to, you know, to come in and pit and tighten up that field a little bit. But I think the tires are too hard.
Well, everybody, you know, you mentioned that. Everybody's on the bigger ones are starting to repave their track, thinking that's going to do anything. But what has it done? Really? It made them go faster.
It made them go faster and it made it more challenging because if you bring too soft a tire, they're going to blow up and tear up equipment. You bring too hard a tire like it did at Kansas, they're going to slip and slide and spin, and that turns into a funky race. Because I don't envy the tire people every time somebody repaves
right.
the track. I mean, that's a lot of... we can't call it ground-up engineering because they have notes for everything anymore, and they understand everything that's going on. But find the right compound for the right temperature, and not even the same compound doesn't even work for every driver. Some guys cram it in the corner so far that it's amazing. Another guy's drifting into the corner and try to get out a little bit faster. So a different compound tire would work for different guys. So I don't envy the Goodyear engineers any at all because they got an awful tough job when everybody repaves the track. And it seems like everybody's doing it now.
Well, you know, and I got to tell you, watching those guys work and all the measurements they do and stuff back there and their trailer and stuff is just amazing what they do. But they got to do something to break up the monotony because I think they're losing people because of it. And I think dirt would be a huge thing to bring back in.
Yep. 4 or 5 dirt tracks. Pitch them stupid road courses. Get them out of there. Let Nationwide run or the trucks run or go to Montreal. Although they canceled the Montreal race, I guess, next year because there's the lack of sponsorship. But don't put the big boys on there. Let everybody else run on them. There's lots and lots of series that's designed to run on road courses. NASCAR isn't one of them.
Well, I think it's going to happen whether we want it to, at least this year. Because if you look at all the racing series out there, everybody has a set schedule except for the World Truck Series.
I'm in. Get our comps. Let's go.
Oh, trust me, we'll be getting comps. We'll be going down there checking this out.
Call KKI and let's get a whole bunch of people to go down.
We'll do a big thing with that. But, that's kind of interesting, Tom. I thought of all people, you would love the dirt tracking.
No dirt. Not for NASCAR. I like dirt tracks, don't get me wrong. And I like that racing. But I don't think... with that stock car on there, that's going to work at all.
Well, I guess you're outruled because the guys here at Speed Talk say we go to dirt.
2-1. Tiny, what do you think about dirt?
I love dirt.
Hey, it's 3-1.
So is the city because we run it down the drain. They make lots of money off of it, too.
Yeah, that's probably true.
We got to see it, man. And you can go back and say there's your half-mile tracks that you can bring back into NASCAR.
I'd get a great big banner, get Radio Speed Talk, hang it up somewhere in the corner and just have a good old time with it.
All right, folks, you're listening to Speed Talk. We need to take a break. We come back. Do You Know is coming on. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Speed Talk. Kenny Barr, Tom Wolf, Cliff Tanner coming at you. We got Laura and Tiny back behind the boards in controls trying to get us going as everybody trying to get through this last segment. It's been kind of crazy. Kenny's going on vacation, so we're going to have a little off on some things, but we just wanted to bring it up. But, hey, we talked about NASCAR. We've talked about dirt. And don't forget, you can go to RadioSpeedTalk.com, check out anything we got to say, as we have our campaign for dirt on there. We also got a contest. Pick your driver, as Kenny says, a legitimate driver.
Yeah.
No Speedy Gonzalez or anybody like that.
It's gotta be somebody nuts. That really I better go delete my email.
And we want you to give us what you think the best song fits that person. My money, guys, has got to say Danica Patrick is going to be the number one.
I had a guy say Barney Oldfield the other night, and he came up with a great match for it. And I'm not going to tell you what it is because he's supposed to send it in. But
yeah, don't do that because we want to
get to
that point.
That was great. I thought, man, you're not even old enough to remember him.
November 20th. Don't forget, that's when we're going to draw 2 winners, a $50 gas card, because God knows gas may be $4, maybe $2, maybe $13.88.
Maybe $50. You might be getting 1 gallon of gas for your lawnmower by then.
Hey, it doesn't matter. At least you'll get some.
That's right.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something over there, Tom. Hey, don't forget, you can check us also at Twitter. I'll be at Radio Speed Talk, too, and Kenny's over at...
Kenny Barr 52.
All right, again, go to RadioSpeedTalk.com and give us your entries, and let's have some fun, man. All right, guys, it's that time, Kenny.
It's that time. Do You Know? Again, this week brought to you by Wish for Our Heroes. Excuse me. That's choking me up a little bit. WishForOurHeroes.org, helping military men and women across the country and in four countries around the world. They don't want your money. They want your belief. Go to WishForOurHeroes.org. Check them out. See what it's all about. You'll be impressed just like Cliff and I are. And do you know it's going to be about cheating in the old days and how, what are some of the crazy things these guys got away with.
Is this where we're going to hear about cutting up some inches off of the tape measure?
Well, that's local. That's another great story that I really like that's extremely true. And we might go there. That was funny.
Let's go.
That was funny. But the best guy, and they never really called it cheating, but I'm a big fan of Smokey Unick. And Smokey Unick did some really, really neat things. There was one time when Smokey took a car through Tech, and they didn't have Tech anywhere close like they have the Room of Doom now and stuff, and they found 10 things wrong with his car. Mm. 10 things. They made them kind of obvious so they could find them. One of them was the gas tank was like way too big. It wasn't just a little bit too big. It was way too big. So they took it clear out of the car, let all the fuel drain out of the lines and stuff, and after it was all said and done, and Smokey never got mad, ever. He never argued with them. He never tried to talk his way through it. He would just take the car back and go back and figure out what he could do. But when they took his gas tank out, he fired up the car and said, "Boys, you missed one." He fired that thing up and took her back to the garage area. Yeah, that's one of my favorites. He also got caught putting a inflatable bladder in a gas tank. So when he'd go through Tech, he'd have the thing blowed up, and they would, I don't know how they measured it back then, but it would only hold, let's say, 20 gallon. Well, he'd take it back, deflate the bladder, and the gas tank would hold another 5 gallon. Then when it come time to get it reinspected, he'd blow the bladder back up. You know, they say it was a basketball bladder, but that would kind of get ate up by the fuel. But that was another one of his creative ways of getting around the fuel issues. And then another great favorite was they had a rule that you could only have a fuel line 5/8 of an inch. But they never said how long it had to be or it was allowed to be. So he put a fuel line on there that was, I think, oh golly, I forget how, it would hold almost 5 gallon of gas. He had it strung out through the whole car. Just great stuff, great stuff. And then another one of my great Smokey Unick favorites, and then we'll move on to some other things that I've read about over the years, is they started with body templates back in 67, 68, I think it was 67. And Smokey went to the NASCAR people and said, "Hey, let me borrow the templates because I want to build a Chevelle, and I want it to be as close to tolerances as I can build it." And NASCAR said, "Okay, we'll do that." So they gave him the templates over the winter. He builds the car, comes back to Daytona, and the car fit the template perfect. He got caught, but he only got caught because some other guy who nobody knew he was going to show up come rolling in with the same year Chevelle, and they go to drop the templates on the car, and it's nowhere close to fitting this thing. Not even in the neighborhood. Smokey didn't use the templates to build a car. He built a car and then modified all the templates to fit his car. What the heck's going on? But he would never... It's terrific. I think that's funny. And that falls under that same category as why I admire... Chad Knaus and these guys that find ways to, they don't look at the rules and say, "This is what you can't do." They look at the rules and figure out what you can do. And that's just the mindset of a really good, smart mechanic, a smart crew chief, a smart fabricator, things of that nature. I remember back when NASCAR had weight rules, they were way before the race, but not after the race. And one of the best tricks guys would do is they would take their frame rails and fill them full of buckshot. They'd actually run to the hardware store if the car was too light and buy, you know, 75 pounds, 100 pounds of buckshot. These guys at the hardware store go, "What are you doing with all that?" But they would put it in the frame rails and rig up a trap door, and during the course of the race, they'd pull the lever, the buckshot would go disappearing onto the racetrack, and they'd be 75 or 100 pounds lighter, and their car would scale back out again and start handling all over again.
Well, now, wait a minute. Now, if they opened it up
they
on
didn't,
the track.
But they did, yeah. Yes.
Nobody's sliding around.
Oh, yes, they did. Absolutely.
You kind of went right all over that part.
Well, and they didn't weigh the cars after the race either.
By the way, we should give a waiver that Speed Talk does not condone cheating in racing.
This isn't cheating. This is creative engineering, and yes, we do. If you ain't a cheating, you ain't a trying. One of my favorite local drivers told me that one day, and he sticks by that credo. What was the other one I had?
Which is why he never needed the Big Show, right?
Oh, he did, though. Almost.
Go ahead.
Just ran out of money more than anything, just like about anybody else. Engine sizes were always at being challenged and stuff. One night I saw a guy, and this is a local story, you were only allowed, I think, a 358 cubic inch motor, and for the tech heads out there, you can tell what a motor size is by the bore and stroke. If you take a cylinder head off, you can measure how big the hole is in the block, the bore, then how far up and down the piston goes. Well, the big fight was on. They threw down the $500. They tore it down on the trailer at the racetrack, and they got it all tore apart. Lo and behold, nobody had a set of micrometers. They had no way to measure this thing at 2 in the morning with 50 drunks around tearing the motor apart. So I watched the guy go to his trailer, take a yardstick, snap it in half, and come over and actually lay it on the block deck, use his thumb, hold it up to the light, stick it in the bore, hold it, and lo and behold, the dumb thing was legal. amazing things, the way the things they got to. And I also know a guy who, his driver always complained about the engine running rough. Always. But he was also always out front, constantly. And what he did was he made this engine, it was a different size than the 7 holes. And one hole, the one that they always check, whether they used a P&G method, which is called pump and guess, or they took it apart and measured it, he made that a legal size. So the engine would shake and rumble and run terribly rough, and it sounded like crap, but it would really, really run going down the racetrack. And he'd tear it apart, and the one hole was legal, and the rest of them were illegal. So neat stuff. It's creative engineering. I appreciate all that. So you know some ways to cheat on your race car now, Cliff.
See, do you know you can only catch that right on Speed Talk?
Yeah.
And, you know, let's talk about Wish for Our Heroes for a minute. We are behind them. You can catch them at Facebook or on our Facebook as well. And as we have, what's the word I want to use? You can get to it from our site and also at RadioSpeedTalk.com. And, again, don't forget about our contest. Anyways, guys, the NHRA, second to the last one on their championship, coming up out at Las Vegas. And unfortunately, with our time being different as it is, all I can tell you is who is going to be in the finals. But I got to start with Top Fuel. I'm really surprised that the guy that had just been tearing it up the last couple of years, Antron Brown, didn't even make it out of the first round this year.
Oh, and they were making a big deal about him so close to the championship and being the first African-American to do so in NHRA. So hopefully he gets the ship righted.
Really? Because he won the Pro Stock motorcycle.
They're talking about the big shows. The
he won
Top
last
Fuel.
Year, didn't he?
Mm-mm.
I thought, didn't he win the championship last year? We got to check that out. Anyway, Tony Schumacher, his boss, is going to be taking on Bob Vandergriff in the finals. And Schumacher Racing has just been dominating, Tom.
Say yes, Tom. Not no dirt, Tom. It's yes. You're right, Cliff. They've been tearing them up.
I was getting ready to ask Cliff if you guys were going to start a campaign to put NHRA on dirt.
Why not? No, they have enough problems. I do know in the early rounds today, the Top Fuel on the first round, almost every one of them, somebody dropped oil on a track, and it took them like an hour to even get through the Top Fuel on the first round. So I know that everybody was complaining about that because Funny Car was sitting in line forever, and they were all complaining about that. Speaking of that, also in the finals, in along the way, Mike Neff is the only guy from John Force Racing that's really doing anything this year, and him and Jack Beckman are going back and forth. And believe it or not, Mike Neff and Beckman in the second round had to meet each other, and Beckman wins, but he's going to take on Ron Capps for the championship. Or on that title, on that one. Courtney Force, man, again, gets into the semifinals, but just can't seem to make it. So, you know, that one's a wide open. But Jack Beckman, I don't know, man. Well, we interviewed him down at the Nationals in Indianapolis. That man has just been on fire ever since. And again, he is now the new all-time speed champion for the Funny Car division.
With a different crew that he started with.
Yes, they stole it.
Yep.
I think he talked about that a little bit and how mad he was, but look where he's at now. Alan Johnson in the finals against Vincent Nobile, and Vincent Nobile won the last, I take that back, Jason Lyon won the last two. Alan Johnson could have clinched today, But unfortunately, Lyon came up and won in the first round, so he has to wait one more week, but it looks like he's going to be a champion there. And we're going to motorcycle, Kenny. We talked about it all year long, man. Eddie Krawiec, once again in the championship, but in the semifinals again, the two Harley boys, Hector Arana Sr. and Eddie Krawiec, man.
Andrew Hines got beat by somebody named John Hall on a hole shot. I see that. That's kind of interesting.
There was a couple of hole shots today.
Krawiec took care of Hall. Hall got nervous and then red-lighted by 22,000. So he was probably over-adrenalized. And then I have a question. I wonder if they got it posted yet. Did they not run the finals from the last race from Pro Stock Motorcycles in Vegas?
Yes, Eddie Krawiec won that.
He beat his teammate?
Yes.
That's got to be a real bummer, you know, two motorcycles, and you're in the finals against each other.
All right. Sorry about that, Kane.
No,
I mean,
you're good.
We're running out of time. Hey, we're here. Speed Talk. Make sure you go to RadioSpeedTalk.com. Check us out there. And KennyBar52 is where you'll catch Kenny on Twitter. I'll be at Radio Speed Talk, too. And, man, I'm telling you, man, it's a fast show, guys. I appreciate it. And don't forget, you can go to that website, RadioSpeedTalk.com, and also enter our contest for the song and the driver that fits most. Anyway, folks, we need to take off. We'll see you next week. You're listening to Speed Talk. See you real soon.
Come here, I want to show you something.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.